ASI is a ministry that's networking all these different ministries together with the church.
Being involved with ASI, meeting other people.
ASI Convention is an excellent opportunity, just a great opportunity.
People that are in ASI, there's a particular fellowship.
ASI is really the stamp. It's the glue that holds all the ministries together.
Welcome to ASI Video Magazine. I'm Dan Houghton. As I attend the ASI convention each year, I'm continually amazed at the stories shared by ASI members, stories of witnessing and outreach, of sharing Christ in the marketplace. Today, we're going to meet two ASI members sharing Christ in very different ways, one through publishing and media, and the other through personal relationships in the workplace. When Lightbearers Ministry was founded in 1986, it was a small outfit, doing door-to-door outreach, Bible studies, and weekend seminars. Today, they are a publishing, media, and teaching ministry. Lightbearers prints 20 to 40 million pieces of literature every year. They're involved in projects around the world and produce television programs targeted at reaching secular society. Let's find out how God has used Lightbearers to bless His work around the world.
This is our new publishing facility, which we built about 2 years ago. We're really happy to be in this building because it is large enough to facilitate all of our needs. First of all, after the literature comes out of the design department, it goes on to our six-color Sandin web press, and then it is brought on carts to the folders where the tracks are folded and boxed up, and then finally, they are palletized and prepared to go onto the trucks and out the door to the ocean liner for wherever the destination may be.
Lightbearers Ministry began as a teaching ministry. It didn't have a publishing aspect at first. That developed later. Shortly after our conversion to Christianity, my partner James and I began doing in-home Bible studies, small group studies with 10, 12, 15 people in a group.
Ty and I were both new converts. We came out of the world. I had a Catholic background, and I don't think he had any kind of religious background. And we met in Spokane, Washington. Ty had joined the church a couple years before I had through an evangelistic series. I came through personal Bible study and then went through an evangelistic series on Daniel. And when we met, we just became friends, and we both had a zeal, a burden, a desire to just share the things that we were learning. They were so new to us and so clear and so powerful and so life-altering.
We were young and energetic and just really eager to share in any venue that might be open to us. And through that medium, we began to conduct seminars pretty much every weekend in different places around the country and other countries as well.
And sometimes people say, well, wow, you and Ty, you know, you just kind of interact really well together. Do you guys rehearse that? And no, that was years of just hanging out together, driving together, talking, interacting. It just kind of flows out of us. It comes natural.
And then as we continued on in the teaching work that we were doing, we saw the value of preparing outlines and studies in written form to share with the people who were attending the seminars.
Up until about 87, we were printing some small pieces of literature, copy machine, nothing really, you know, great, but we really felt a desire to get a press.
We didn't know anything about publishing, had never laid eyes on a press before up close and personal. It was just a device we knew was out there in the technological world and we could make use of it, and we knew it would have a major impact on the world. So we did a little bit of research. We picked a small two-color press called an AB Dick.
And it wasn't really a professional press. It was an AB Dick. It was a duplicator, something that they use in a copy shop. But it was a press to us. You know, you ink it up, you have rollers, the whole bit.
And we purchased the thing. They delivered it. They told us that the next day they would send somebody to do some training on the press, but we just couldn't contain ourselves, so we slapped some ink on there and the necessary chemicals, and we got the thing up and running, determined to get ink to stick to paper by morning.
And we stayed up all night long, and we just were... We had a few, I can't remember what they're called, but where the paper blows out and the whole thing needs to be cleaned up and you start from scratch. And we did a few of those, and by the time the sun started rising and the dawn started breaking upon us, We were still awake, still working with this press, and we were so excited because we were printing ink on paper and it was legible. And then the trainer came, the guy that was going to teach us how to run the press. And he came to the ministry, and there we were, you know, just all starry-eyed and excited. And he came in and he started going through it with us. And we just had one question after another. And he just couldn't figure out why we had so many questions. And they were just all very practical questions. And we told him our experience. We said, we've been up all night with this press, and we've run through. And he said, no wonder you're asking all these questions. He said, these questions are all based on the experience you've had all night running this press, right? And I said, we said, yes, absolutely. So it was awesome.
We were certain of two things at that point, and that is that it could be done, and that we needed to keep going in the direction of publishing, and that we needed to hire somebody else to actually run the press.
And that began to develop in 87. And by 1990, we had a full publishing house. And we started to print containers of literature for overseas.
Lightbearer's ministry is all about filling containers with truth-filled literature and then shipping it to designated areas around the world where people are in desperate need of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Literature distribution is the most effective way of communicating the gospel for at least three reasons. Number one, cost effectiveness. All of this literature that we print is produced and shipped for less than 4 pennies per publication.
This press is the one that we use to print material in mass. We can fill a container with material in about 2 weeks.
Secondly, it's effective because of its impact. It's a tangible item that people hold in their hands, they take home, other family members can read it, so it has an ongoing life cycle in a community, in a home.
And to this date, we've probably printed about 430 million plus pieces of literature in over 30 different languages.
So the third reason is because the literature that is placed in people's hands has a grounding effect. It's more effective to read the truth and to go over it again and again and to have it in your possession in a written form than merely to hear somebody speak the truth and then leave town.
And right now we're printing French, Portuguese, we've got, of course, the English, and requests for a number of other different languages. We have developed the ministry primarily to present literature for the needs of third world countries, countries that just don't have the means to fund literature, and to do it in such a way that we can make the cost low.
All of it has gone out absolutely free of charge as a gift to various entities around the world that become distribution centers. And so really what Lightbearer's ministry is it is a massive communication network. Just in this year, this coming year alone, we will put into circulation 50 to 60 million publications.
Sometimes, you know, you get so busy and you're out there doing ministry and doing what you need to do, and you lose sight of or lose connection with some of these other ministries and what they're up to, and no one really has time to connect. So you take a few days off every year, about August, first week, and you go to ASI convention and you hook up with all these different ministries and you connect with them all at one time and you just get it all out of the way and you don't have to be calling everyone. And then you figure out what their schedules are for different events and you try to hook that in with what you're doing and see if you can work together. And there's so much more that gets accomplished as you work with these other ministries.
The ASI convention is an excellent opportunity, just a great opportunity to meet people, to lay plans, to cast vision, and also along the way, as you attend the meetings at ASI, you're just receiving a lot of motivation and education that goes a long way for shaping what it is that we're going to do to make an impact in the world field.
And so ASI really facilitates that. It's a wonderful place.
One of the most incredible things that we've witnessed and experienced as a ministry is that we've received reports of churches that have spontaneously come into existence because literature was distributed in the area. So we've had missionaries who have gone to villages and towns and way out of the way places, and they start holding meetings and Bible studies and so on, and they discover in the process that, hey, these people already know these certain truths, and they begin to inquire, how do you know these Bible truths? How did you encounter these things? Did another evangelist or a missionary come to visit? and they produce Light Bearers literature. Literature that sometime earlier, months ago, years ago, someone came through the village with a backpack full of literature because we sent a container and people go out on bicycles into remote places, or they go out on hikes into remote villages, and they just hand the literature out free and then they leave.
One of the most exciting experiences that I had was on my first trip to Africa. You know, we've been printing literature for Africa for over 20 years, but I'd never actually gone there until 2006. And the country I went to the first time was Zimbabwe, which is in a very difficult economic situation with high, high inflation. And we went to, I went to the University of Selusi, which is an Adventist university, university status just recently, but it's also the oldest mission in Africa, the oldest Seventh-day Adventist mission in Africa. It was founded in 1895 with a grant of land from the government. They have over 2,000 students enrolled. 60 to 80% of them are not Seventh-day Adventists. It's a Catholic country, so a lot of them are Catholics. And I was there doing a week of prayer on the Three Angels message, Revelation 14. And it was really fun, but it was also intense. The reason why it was so intense is because you have a lot of kids there that do not have an Adventist background and actually have a Catholic background. But they don't necessarily have Bibles. They don't necessarily have literature. And so when I'm preaching, they're hearing things for the first time, and they're seeing slides, PowerPoint presentation slides with all this documentation on it, but because they don't have it at hand and can't necessarily go to the web, they have a lot of questions. And they're not sure if they believe or can even accept what I'm teaching. And so what we did, I did a question and answer time, and that helped a little bit, and I was able to share from the Bible, but they don't have Bibles, a lot of them. I had four students, four Catholic girls, for example, that were intense about what day was the Sabbath and asking me about that, but only one of them had a Bible between the four. So got back to Light Bearers, and we organized and got together a container of literature filled with lessons, Bible lessons, Bibles, thousands of Bibles. I think we sent 5,000 Bibles there. We sent enough Bibles there for each student, and just a couple months later, 165 young people were baptized and became Seventh-day Adventists. And it was really exciting because I know that part of the reason for that was not just the week of prayer, but also the follow-up with the literature that helped to stabilize the message that we had shared in their hearts and helped them to be able to go back to a Bible, which they didn't have, back to Bible studies, which they didn't have, and back to literature, which they didn't have, and reaffirm everything that we had taught. And now our plan is to keep sending a container of literature to Selusi University every year. They get it through Bulawayo in Zimbabwe, and they are just soaking it up. I mean, we could send two or three containers there a year. But what happens is you send a container of literature to Selusi, you have these theology students there. Some of them are graduating, new ones are coming in, you have new students coming in that come from different denominations, different backgrounds, and so it's a brand new field of ministry every year. You don't have to necessarily go off campus. It's a mission campus right there. So you're sending the literature to a place where the mission field is, right there at that Adventist institution. It's really exciting to see that happening.
It's wonderful to see how God can use us for His glory to spread the good news of His love to the entire world. And I'm thankful for Light Bearers and the other ministries that are members of ASI. Together, we're telling the world about Christ's love and soon return. To learn more about Light Bearers, call area code 541-988-3333 or visit www.lbm.org. ASI has 8 regional chapters across North America. These chapters host their own local conventions each spring, along with occasional rallies and meetings throughout the year. Your local chapter is an excellent way to get involved with ASI. It's an opportunity to connect with like-minded Adventist professionals from your area. Visit www.asiministries.org to find more information about your local ASI chapter.
ASI convention is just an inspiring time.
I've heard it described as camp meeting on steroids.
I get encouraged when I come to the ASI conference.
The speakers, the fellowship that you have.
It is so charging and recharging.
I'm uplifted.
Once I went, I didn't want to miss.
You need to come to ASI.
There's nothing like it.
Jesus is rightly called the Master Physician. While here on this earth, he performed many miraculous acts of healing. One of the best ways we as Christians can witness for Christ is to help others with their physical ailments. Dr. Carlos Hoppus is a physician and ASI member from Burleson, Texas. Let's find out how he's used his practice to witness to others.
I was preparing my own funeral. My wife was writing the things that I really want for my funeral. I wanted to be different, you know? I don't want people just crying because, you know, if we're still remaining in this world, we will die anyway. But I wanted to be different. I wanted to do a sermon for my friends. The only thing that, most of them, the only thing they worry about life is getting a professional degree, making money, and they don't worry about who is your neighbor.
Victor is a great guy. He's actually young, dynamic, and he's a quite intelligent man. He's an engineer in electronics.
And working with the governments and private companies, and I was flying every 15 days to different countries. I don't know in what country that I breathe that virus or disease, but the first thing that I notice is my feet. When I look at my feet, because we're starting a little pain when I was walking, I noticed that I lose the formativity of my feet because it looks like elephant feet.
And one day he came in to see me and says, "Doctor, I need your help. I've been seeing so many doctors, but I just want the opinion of a Christian doctor."
Before I was going to Dr. Hoppus, I had the strong feeling that I will be dying in 7 days.
I examined him. I went through all the areas that I could see that I could help me make a diagnosis. I even look at the reports that he brought to me from other doctors, and I said, "Victor, I really don't know what you have, but I know one thing. We're gonna trust in God. We're gonna do the best we can. We're gonna pray. If you don't mind, I'm gonna pray with you, and God will give us the answer."
In every single visit that I got with Dr. Hoppus, we pray before. And where he find out later they have a sarcoidosis, which is a disease that is worse than TBC.
He was swollen on the feet. I thought at the beginning that he had some congestive heart failure, but that was not so.
And I told the Lord, "I quit my job. If you still need me in ministry, I'm willing to quit my job. And I do in 1 month. But if you cure me in 7 days," I told the Lord, "You have to cure me in 7 days. I have also the strong sensation, instead of dying in 7 days, I will be alive. But if I alive after 7 days, it means that he will open the door for me in ministry."
I said, "Victor, we need to take an x-ray." When I saw that x-ray, it was just full of white ground glass appearance, typical of what could be a tuberculosis.
You know, when I said to Dr. Hoppus that I had this strong sensation that I will die in 7 days, he looked at me and he says, "Unless God have another plans, you won't die. We will do all that I can. I don't know what you have," he says to me. He was sincere. "But with prayer, we will find out." And that was a comfort in my heart because I knew I was with the right person.
He says, "I'm alive because of my doctor." And I was shocked. I said, "Victor, I haven't done anything for you." He said, no, doctor, you are the answer to my prayers. I thought I was going to die, and I thought that was the end of my life, and I wanted to have an opinion from a Christian doctor, but you pray for me. And from that moment, I knew that God has healed me. As a matter of fact, I went back to my doctors that have seen me. They have checked my lungs, and when they took another x-ray, they couldn't see anything on them. And quite miraculous. And I didn't know that happens, and I was shocked, but I praise God because he's the only one that could have healed Victor.
I've become very well acquainted with Dr. Hoppus as a patient, treating all my different ailments, always takes time, always very careful and courteous and kind. And when I walk into his waiting room, it's always full. And I know those people are there because he treats them the same way.
Each patient is a unique case, and I enjoyed each one of them. Sometimes I have to be reminded by my nurses that I'm spending too much time with them. And that's one of my faults.
I was chairing the Hughley Hospital Board, and the nurses and everybody were talking about Dr. Hoppus, Dr. Hoppus, a new doctor. And they were so excited about him that they voted him to be the Doctor of the Year.
At a hospital like ours, there's about 350 doctors, and probably only 20 or 25 of those doctors are Seventh-day Adventists. And Dr. Hoppus is a Seventh-day Adventist, obviously, but more importantly, lives his life in such a way that his colleagues elect him as the president of the medical staff. They have confidence in him and appointed him to that position. And so an Adventist hospital with an Adventist physician serving in that role, I think is the way it should be.
The Seventh-day Adventist Church in Cleburne, Texas has organized a free clinic. And I'm sure that Dr. Hoppus spends quite a bit of time there. I know he's involved there and donating his time to the helping of indigents. And I believe last year that clinic saw over 2,000 people.
I'm not the only one doing these things. There are many physicians in our institution, Hughley Medical Center, which offer their service totally free for this type of patients and indigents.
And the Hughley Hospital, under his inspirational leadership, has started venturing to Latin American countries and to, I believe, Africa.
I see patients here in the States, indigent ones, but I also do twice or three times a year a mission project.
The last couple of years, we've taken mission trips to Honduras, and Dr. Hoppus went there with us a couple of times and has gone down there and served. And because he's bilingual, that has been a big blessing. Additionally to being a physician and going out and ministering to the health needs of the people, he can talk to them and makes them at ease in that way.
And when we come back, it's amazing to see those people rejoicing. They want to do it immediately again. They are just signing their names again, and they want to know when we're going to be going out again into these places because they really love what they do. And they really become enthusiastic about it, and they appreciate actually what they have at home.
And it just helps the whole spiritual atmosphere of the church. And this kind of thing has been generated largely through Dr. and Mrs. Hoppus.
It's so good to share, you know, the rest of other people that doesn't have the opportunity we have to know Jesus, to tell them about Jesus, to especially I like to work with little ones, with children, with vacation Bible school, or with medical group that go and help them to teach a better way to live.
So, Gracie, when I was about to marry her, says, Gracie, one condition, I'm going to marry you. He says, if you promise to me that you are going to give me 12 children.
He dreamed with a big family. And I was a little afraid to have a big family.
And she says, thought for a while, she swallowed a little bit and says, yes, I'll promise.
After we have our second child, we start having in our home foreign students.
So the children came the first, the second, the third. I already forgot about them. I had enough with three. But she had not forgotten about them.
And little by little, I find out that my house will fix all these young students that came, and we adopt them because our children, they follow the rules of the home, and we enjoy them as daughters and sons.
And I was quite not very happy about it. See, I wanted my privacy, I wanted to be in my home, I wanted to be ruler of the house, and now this stranger comes in. I don't know what the outcome was going to be. I said, well, I promised you 12 children, so here's another one. And so over the years, she has been piling up, and not only she has given me 12, she has given me close to 28. And one time, she even brought me a couple
which was a single mother with a child. I said, "Now, Gracie, that's not right. What are you doing with me?" And I said, "Well, this poor lady has no place to go. But is she one of our faith? No. Do you know her?" "No, I don't know her. I just met her in the street." I said, "How do you dare to do that?" And I said, "Well, but she needs to have help." And as a consequence of being in our house, the child became a student. She went to our academy. She lived with our children like if she was one of us. She graduated from college, and she's working as a pastor right now. She became a converted Christian, and her mother became baptized too, and they both came to be a part of the family of God as a consequence of being in our house. So I praise the Lord again because of grace's decision to bring them into our house.
And be a member of ASI, I think, was the touch of our life, for my family, especially for my husband and I, to have a purpose in our workplace.
From that moment on, we went on projects that we wanted to do something for God. We want to do something different. It's to be in the office and seeing patients is not enough. We want to go and do outreach. And we got our kids involved with this.
We are seeing a renaissance of Adventism through ASI. They're bringing back the old spirit. They're witnessing for Christ in the marketplace. And I believe that Dr. Hoppus and his health care practice, his medical practice, is doing that in a par excellent manner. There are people that invite him to conduct their funerals, non-Adventist families, because of his spiritual leadership, because they know he's a godly man. And his wife, Gracie, and his sister, Norma, they have a powerful influence upon the patients in an uplifting, spirit-building way. It's just an inspiration to watch them. I go into the clinic quite frequently with my own needs or to run some errand. And to see them all at work with the other staff members, it's like walking into a church activity.
There are so many ways God can use us to touch the lives of others if we are just willing to let Him lead. ASI is made up of people just like Dr. Hoppus, who have given their lives and businesses for God to use according to His purpose. For more information about ASI and how to become a member, call area code 301-680-6450 or visit www.asiministries.org. You've been watching ASI Video Magazine. I'm Dan Houghton. Join me next time for more stories of ASI members sharing Christ in the marketplace. God be with you.